headed to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Labatt Studio. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. All right, guys, we haven't talked enough about the transfer portal. Let's devote another quarter to it. By the way, everybody, because Andy's not here, we forgot the four fingers up for quarter number four and finishing strong. I'd like to think that we could take the portal in a little bit different direction. And I want to throw a theory at you guys. And Ross, maybe you alluded to it a little bit at the end of Q3 with the question that I think Franklin knows exactly what he's doing. And this is his model. Guys, now, when you come in, you want to have early entries. They have 11 early entries this year. Get your degree in 3 years, and one of three things happens. Either 3 years, get your degree, go to the NFL. 3 years, and you've become a factor. You're either a starter or in the two deep at the very least. Or if in 3 years you haven't broken through,
you're in the portal.
Go to the portal. You've got your degree. You could go play. If you haven't, you're probably a redshirt then your freshman year. You only use up 2 years of eligibility. You have your Penn State degree. Go to UMass and finish out your career.
UMass.
Well, because there's been a couple recent, isn't there been some recent activity in the portal?
Jarvis Miller.
There it is.
UMass or Delaware.
That's it, exactly.
UMass or Delaware. Those are your options.
That would be the Penn State alumni game if Delaware ever played UMass.
It's funny. You know, a couple points, though. What's interesting to me is, like, it used to be that you really weren't supposed to play until your last 2 years, especially like O-line, D-line. You know, you waited your turn. You redshirted. You didn't play. Think about Penn State back in the day. A lot of freshmen didn't play. Even sophomores didn't play. But then by their fourth and fifth years, they were men. You know, they were 21, 22, 23. It was their fourth and fifth years. Things have changed. I talked to a lot of college coaches because of Go Big Recruiting, and I think you're going to see less and less kids getting redshirted, because the reality is you only redshirt if you think the guy's going to be there for 5 years. How many guys are really going to be there for 5 years? I mean, even Ryan Bates and Givens and guys like that aren't there for 5 years. So what are you redshirting for? Now, I mean, if there's no way to get the guy on the field and he doesn't deserve to be on the field, okay. But I just think, like, even with this four-game thing, I just think the priority of saving a guy's redshirt is really going to be more for the kid than the school. It's more for the kid so that if he goes in the portal in 3 years and he graduates, he has 2 years as a grad transfer rather than one.
And can play immediately.
Right. Which, by the way, if you're Penn State, that's even more reason to burn their red shirt as a true freshman. So that if they leave, they only have 1 year somewhere else, right? So get them all in for 4.5 games. That way, I'm kidding, but the red shirt really becomes more of a factor for the kid than the program. Because how many kids really stay 5 years that you really want and or need? So I just think we're going to see less and less red shirting. Between the four-game rule, and although I guess the four-game rule lets them redshirt more kids, actually.
Yeah. They almost have no choice but to play more freshmen this year. There's not a lot of bodies that they trust. And I think it also, Dwight Galton and his conditioning staff, the onus is on them to kind of get them ready to play in year one. And they're recruiting better kids who are more physically gifted, but that all goes hand in hand. I think that the January enrollees are going to see a lot more play, even if it's just on special teams, because it's going to need them.
And has anybody done a deep dive, Bob, on where Penn State compares to other schools
in terms of the portal?
Portal and guys going pro? Because I saw, well, Michigan and Penn and Ohio State both had a lot of kids go pro too.
Yeah.
And Alabama and Clemson, they always do.
The difference is the good schools, their kids are going pro, but Penn State, because they had been down a little bit, they're going into the portal because those kids are graduating, but they're not good enough.
And I think the difference is the kids going pro at Alabama and Ohio State and Michigan, they're going like first and second round.
Yeah.
The Penn State guys going pro are not.
But that, I think that you're going to see that start to change.
Well, it, or exactly. Better change. And one of the things, this is my Andy Shea imitation on numbers, is the number of 4- and 5-star recruits from 2016 and 2017 almost doubled in 2018 and 19. So when you have a situation like this year, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe it's 18 out of the 20 recruits were at least 4-star.
Right.
So if you're a 3-star who's been around from, you know, the couple years ago, I think there's a transition period going on here at Penn State when they're going from a good team to trying to be an elite team, or at least they have done that transition in their recruiting. Yeah. There isn't room anymore for the guys who haven't cut it yet through 3 years.
This illustrates how big the gap was talent-wise, depth-wise between Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. And it illustrates how good Saquon Barkley was, because he was kind of an eraser that he kind of bridged the gap. But they're just not, you know, from 1 to 85, they just weren't as good as Ohio State and Michigan, because you're seeing it in terms of who's trying for the NFL, who might get drafted to the NFL, and who's going to Delaware, who's going to UMass.
Right. And are we going to see any of the Penn State portal guys? I guess Dalton went to BC. Right now, that's the biggest name program.
And he's from up there, and they use a lot of tight ends. They use a lot of tight ends up there.
They use big tight ends, though.
Yeah, he's not a really big kid, right?
He's gotten a lot bigger. I just don't know if he's 250 soaking wet. That might be it.
I think you're right, though, Jim. It's like, how many of the guys that left do you think Penn State would have rather stayed rather than freeing up that scholarship?
And I'll look at it as the fan. The name Lamont Wade was such a big name. Everyone expected so much from him, but I'm not sure. You could tell me, you could say better than I can, Ross. Has he shown enough?
No.
Yeah. After 2 years, I think both sides knew.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe he would have been the starting safety next year instead of Sutherland. I don't know.
But maybe not.
Yeah.
But maybe not. No. And he wasn't willing. And he hasn't landed anywhere yet.
No.
Which is interesting. And he has to sit out.
Unless he can do the
You just
the
wonder how
thing.
Important football is to him. He's got a lot of other things going on in his life, and you just wonder if he's trying to figure some stuff out. The one guy I thought that could have been a player, but it was career was derailed by injuries, that I think would have helped them if he had been healthy, was Aaron Monroe. And I think that there must have been some injuries that caused him to fall so far behind, because you could see when he was healthy in the blue-white game, he was a player, and I don't think he could stay healthy. That, of all the guys that left, I think a healthy Aaron Monroe would be a guy that Penn State would have been in Penn State's plans this year.
I know the wide receiver room looks pretty good, but I'm still a Juwan Johnson guy. I had hoped he would come back. But
that ship has sailed, my friend.
Yeah, yes, it does, definitely has. Well, there's a couple other things I wanted to bounce off both of you. Am I wrong looking at the portal as being – there's two types of players in the portal, backups and star quarterbacks?
Well, but even the star quarterbacks are backups. That's why they're transferring.
But
Jalen Hurts – Justin Fields, they're backups. Otherwise, they'd stay at Alabama.
Right.
House,
but I mean, they're
can only
probably
play one
some people
at a time.
Think they're elite, though.
At least,
you know, Justin
it's the only
Fields.
Position where you're only playing one at a time.
Right.
Right. So that's
Except
the one.
Jim has a two quarterback.
I still think you've got two different types of quarterbacks.
Jim and Princeton.
Yeah.
Well, Clifford and Tommy Stevenson. I'm not saying both end the field at the same time, but how about depending on the situation, the team you're playing against? Don't you look at Clifford and Tommy Stevens as different types of quarterbacks? One's the throw first, run second. The other one's run first.
Hmm? I don't think Stevens thinks he's run first. We'll see.
I've watched him play.
I think right now he's definitely run first. It
as
might
soon
change.
As he comes in the game
that
at quarterback,
Michigan,
whoever I'm watching the game
first.
With, I turn and say, I'm going to call the play. It's Tommy Stevens going to run the ball.
Well, that's because that was what his role was for them last year. That's how they wanted to use
well,
him.
Well, even when Trace came out injured, he'd go in and run the ball.
I think that they felt like that was his relative strength. But even when Trace was in, Trace had – They ran the crap out of Trace.
But I do think that's part of this conversation that they're going to have about the competition. I mean, do they want a guy that, you know, the first sign of trouble in the pocket, he's going to look to go? Or do you want a guy that's going to stand in there and take the shot? and get the ball down the field. I think it's a pretty fair. Can Tommy be that guy? I guess they have to ask themselves that question. Is he the guy that'll stick in the pocket on 3rd and 9 and try and wait for the receiver to break open and throw the ball and take the hit, or is he going to just take off and run and get 4 yards and they're going to have to punt?
We shall see. All right. Here was the other thing I wanted to bring up about getting back to the portal. Ross, do you think the waiver situation is going to get out of hand? First of all, I don't see any way they deny Justin Fields his waiver based on what they're going to use as the reason for it.
I don't think there should be any waiver.
Okay. Do you think if that's the case?
That creates a headache for them, for the NCAA, and every different one of these cases on a case by. Why should there be any waiver? Now, if your school goes under probation or something because the coach is cheated, I think that's a little bit different. But I mean, coming up with your own reasoning, like what's Tate Martell's reason for the waiver?
Head coach left.
Yeah, I would just say no.
I guess I'm looking at
Let me just say, so we know what's been alleged with Justin Fields at Georgia, right?
Right.
And it's certainly the case that that happened. But I haven't heard any stories of other Georgia football players being called that. So what are the chances that the one Georgia football player that's called that happens to be the one who's transferring and looking for a waiver? It's like, I'll go back to the Patriots thing and Deflategate. I've only ever heard in my entire life one person call themselves the deflator. What are the odds that happens to be the guy who's being accused of deflating footballs for the Patriots? It gives you some pause at a minimum. Well,
and I guess that's my point, Ross. The reasoning for it is, if he were the starting quarterback, do you think he would have been as offended if he had won the starting job
at
Georgia?
Here's the thing.
And not to, put the kid down at all. I mean, this is in his best interest to be able to go and play right away. And if this is the means
for it.
Right,
but the point is like, you're going to start to have, I have a really bad allergy and to the peach in Georgia, and they don't have peaches in Ohio. I mean, it's just going to get to the point where, It's why the NCAA tries not to make exceptions, because then everybody thinks they're the exception.
But I think the door has been opened, and what I wonder, just to wrap this up, is if it were complete freedom, might you have a mass exodus somewhere? Anyway, that's it for our show. It went way too fast. We will see you next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross-check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.